Hello and welcome to the as yet unnamed London Theatre Podcast for the 8th of January 2011. My name's TRP Watson, and this week I'm joined by Gareth James, Phil from the West End Whingers, and Rev Stan.
We're going to talk about now Lion in Winter. This has been on for a while. I think it's coming off soon. And hasn't been particularly well reviewed by some people, although I did think it did get a 4 or 5 star review from somebody. This stars Robert Lindsay and Joanna Lumley as Henry II, and I can never remember it. I think it's Eleanor of Aquitaine. And it is basically a Christmas story of them having a massive argument, really, about who's going to succeed Henry II, who's going to be the heir, because the young King Henry has died recently, and he was the appointed heir. So it's a discussion between their three remaining sons, Geoffrey, Richard, and John. Richard and John both became king later. Now, this play is most well known for its film adaptation with Peter O'Toole and Katharine Hepburn, and I always thought it was a very serious thing. I'd seen the film, and I watched the film again after seeing this, and it played very seriously. But after seeing the play, I realised there are an awful lot of quite funny lines and quite funny bits in it. And this play is done for, I think it's done for laughs more than anything else. And while I can't really say that it's a great play, I thought it was a decent enough production. I actually found myself quite enjoying myself while I was watching it. I do think, though, that given the ruinous ticket prices, it's a bit much to put on in the West End. And people who criticise it for not being very good, they're probably fairly right. I mean, just saying that I had a fairly good time and laughed in the right places and enjoyed the relationship between Robert Lindsay and Joanna Lumley in this. But other people might not think so much. Now, you saw it recently, Phil. What did you think about it?
Yeah, well, we went on last Monday, and despite the bad reviews, which we were obviously very aware of, we'd had it recommended by a few people, and it sounded quite sort of quite up our streets, really, because it sounded like sort of a camp curiosity, and actually didn't like it very much at all. I was quite surprised. I mean, it did make me laugh a few times, occasionally unintentionally. It is played sort of for laugh. It's a bit sort of carry on in its whole way it's done. I mean, it's very handsomely staged. The set's rather magnificent, although I wasn't so impressed by the costumes. It's interesting, the Middle Ages look very, very clean and smart. And there was a slight whiff of Carry On hanging over the whole proceedings. I didn't feel that Joanna Lumley was the right person for this role at all. I thought she was, there was an awful lot of snarling and baring her teeth, and I felt there wasn't much chemistry between her and Robert Lindsay. The boys, the three sons, John, Richard, who's Richard the Lionheart, and who's the third? Geoffrey. They sort of strut around, sort of swaggering to testosterone or just petulant. And one of them particularly is very petulant and irritating. And there's, you know, very complicated sort of plotting and counter-plotting against each other, which, frankly, I found quite tedious. It didn't really engage me in the way that I thought it might as a piece of, you know, fun. And as you say, I can't remember the film very well because it's a long time, but I thought the film was quite serious, had quite a serious thing, and wasn't played for laughs like this was attempting to be. It got quite a sort of a lukewarm reception, I think, from the audience. And you get the feeling that they're doing the best with what's pretty much a bit of Christmas turkey, I think. And it's interesting that it's never been done in the West End before. It was first done 45 years ago, and I think that's, you know, in a way, that should set off some alarm bells, why it's taken that long for somebody to stage it here.
Yeah, I can see what you mean about the thing. That was the mystery with when I rewatched the film, of course, that all the lines that are said humorously and are supposed to be funny are just lost in the film. The film tries to be extremely serious and portentous, I think the word is, and he sort of somehow lost that in the it didn't have that on the stage, and they did play it more for laughs. But I think that's what the playwright sort of intended. Now, Gareth, you also saw this just before Christmas. What did you think about it?
Well, I'm with Phil, really. I just find it unbelievably dull. I think he's trying to be clever, and I think he's trying to be funny. And I think the anachronistic dialogue, which actually didn't offend me, is part of that sort of process. But it just comes over as very clunky and just dull, really. I mean, it's quite an interesting piece of history, it seems to me. I mean, I'm no historian, but I mean, it seems to me to be quite an interesting piece of history. And how you can turn an interesting piece of history and make it actually that dull is quite a surprise to me, really. But it is the writing, in my view, that's the issue. I do recall seeing the film, but I can't recall what I think about it, which might tell you something about what I thought about it, really. But it's certainly here. I mean, it's certainly here played for. It's playful, I think. It's actually done quite playfully, both in terms of writing and in terms of performance. I think that Lindsay and Joanne Lumley are actually kind of playful with each other. The clunkiness kind of extends to sort of people, you know, secrets being revealed while people are behind curtains. And, you know, that's the kind of carry-on element of it all, really. And I found myself admiring the set and admiring the performances, but just finding the play incredibly dull. I don't know how we know about how we know things about 1,000-year-old history, but the sort of idea that the King of France used to be the lover of Richard was a bit sort of, I thought, where the bloody hell did you get that from? So really, I just found it a dull evening. I didn't pay for my ticket because they were clearly trying to get bums on seats, and I didn't get it free from the theatre either. It came from one of those places that we don't talk about. If I had paid for it, I probably would have been queuing at the box office demanding my money, because I think 60 quid or whatever it was for the top price for that was just not worth it. And I think that it's a bad example of star casting, really. And if they are papering the house 2 weeks before Christmas, then I suspect that it hasn't done as well as they thought it was going to do. And I wonder now, this kind of springs up another debate, really, about whether star casting is sort of coming to its end, really. Because on a Friday night in Death and the Maiden, Tandy Newton couldn't bring in more than a third of the house 2 weeks after the opening. So I wonder whether people are waiting for reviews and are not being lured by star casting as they clearly used to be.
Yeah, I think there's less of a connection between the sort of television stars and film these days. I mean, I always remember that they used to have the, you know, so-and-so is appearing in Panto at, you know, the Theatre Royal Great Yarmouth or whatever, at the end of a show. You'd often have that. And there isn't that connection now. And, you know, it is a bit of a curiosity when people do theatre. And, you know, theatre names aren't well known. So there's actually, it's a slightly, you know, you have sort of lost that connection. And I don't think people, with a very few exceptions, relatively few exceptions, you know, the really big star, unless you're really a massive star, you're not going to, people aren't going to be interested. I mean, Thandie Newton's not a massive star. I mean, she's okay in films, but she's not, you know, she's not massive. And even though Robert Lindsay's been in a sitcom for absolutely ever, I don't think people, you know, would say he was a star either. Obviously they are well-known television names, and they are thinking about them being stars. But it's those aren't big enough names to get people in. You know, you really need the massive people. You know, the really big stars. I mean, you know, someone like, your latest Doctor Who can probably do it, and somebody like Benedict Cumberbatch might be able to open a play in a few years, but probably not right now. You know, that we just don't have the big enough names.
I think I would say that Robert Lindsay and Joanna Lumley fall into the kind of national treasure category, really. I mean, with people like Victoria Wood and Julie Walters. So I would have really expected them to draw an audience, I have to say.
Well, I was told that actually it did open with quite a healthy advance by somebody who's connected with the production. And they were, I don't think they were just bigging it up. I think that was genuine. So I think perhaps the casting of Robert Lindsay and Joanna Lumley has worked to an extent. I think probably then the reviews came out and it didn't, you know, it didn't sort of pick up on that. But I think that the casting, well, I think particularly with Joanna Lumley, that was she was completely miscast in this. It didn't work for me, and I don't think she's really got enough range. And I think, you know, she played it. I agree, she played it as they both did for laughs to an extent, and yet I didn't find it particularly funny. I'd be interested to know, did the film actually cut some of the sort of the funny lines? Because there is the rather strange but quite funny line where she says about it's 1183, we've all got knives.
Yes.
Was that in the film? Do you remember that?
I think so. I can't exactly remember. I think there's certainly that kind of that element to it. But they just don't, you know, they just aren't playing it for laughs. There are, you know, the funny lines. I remember watching it, you know, almost sort of a couple of weeks after I saw the play, and I recognised almost all of the lines in there still. But I just think that they didn't play up the anachronism. They just let it happen. I mean, this actually won Oscars, didn't it? So
yes, she got the Best Actress. I think she tied with Catherine Hepburn tied with Barbara Streisand that year.
Yeah, I mean it's sort of odd. The film looks really odd when you watch after you watch the play, because suddenly you see that the playwright sort of did want you to laugh in places, but obviously he also wrote the screenplay and was intimately involved in that production. So I don't understand. You know, I don't understand quite what he's doing, and I think that might be part of the problem here. You know, that he wasn't sure whether he was writing a comedy or a carry-on or writing something serious.
It's sort of a waste, though, isn't it, of the talents of Robert Lindsay and Joanna Lumley?
I mean, it's a bad decision by Trevor Nunn, I think, by the director, and I don't think he's had that much luck, really, with his productions there.
Well, I only like Flare Path. I mean, I didn't go to The Tempest because I just didn't fancy another Tempest, really. But I didn't enjoy Rosencrantz at all, and I didn't really enjoy this. So of the four plays he did, I have to say it was only Flare Path, but then again, it was my revival of the year. So I think that I wonder whether Lindsay and Lumley have got the same agent, actually, because they both picked badly twice now. Because I think that Onassis was a mistake for Robert Lindsay. And I think La Bête was a mistake for Joanna Lumley, even though clearly it was very commercially successful. I mean, she was a bit wasted in it, really. It'd be nice to see them in something worthy of their talents, in my view, because I do actually like them both.
Yeah. I have to say I was disappointed with Onassis as well. So yeah, it would be nice to see them do something decent. And yeah, it's just a very odd pick, this, and I think they're just banking on it. You know, it's almost saying, well, that's a favourite film, we'll do that, and it's just an odd choice.
I think the last time Robert Lindsay was in the Haymarket was probably in Beckett, and that was a cracking production, and he was really, really good. It'd be nice to see something like that again, really.
I think also what's quite interesting, because I did look up the film after seeing it, and the film is something like 2 hours and 40 minutes. And given that this is Trevor Nunn, who does have a reputation for doing rather long plays, it's actually, well, the night we saw it was only 2 hours and 20 minutes, including intervals. So that's cut it down to 2 hours, which is quite snappy. I don't know if they may be playing it faster, because I asked several times what the running time was, and they said 2.5 hours, but it was 2 hours 20, certainly no more than that. And I just wonder if they're speeding it up a bit, either to just get out of there and get their contracts over and done with as quickly as possible.
Well, I got the impression they were going through the motions, frankly, and it was 2 hours 20 for me as well. So
yeah,
I suspect there may be some truth there, Phil.
There was quite a funny bit, because we got £15 day seats for the front row, and when they came on for the curtain call, Robert Lindsay sort of, well, it wasn't very sotto voce, it was, we could hear it very clearly. He turned to them and said, let's get out of here. They all went off and then had to come on for a second bow, but that was quite a strange thing. I thought it sort of it was quite symbolic of the whole production, really, is that they're trapped.
He makes a habit of that, because at a national, he clearly wasn't enjoying himself. He didn't smile at all during the curtain call. And you could see him, because I was at the side, you could see him as he walked off the stage, signaling to the stage manager to pull the curtain down, because he was going to do another bow.
Well, good for him.
Okay, we're now going to talk about Fog at the Finborough Theatre. This is a new play by Tash Fairbanks and Toby Wharton, who also stars. Revstan, you saw this. Tell us about it.
Yes, this is a contemporary piece set in a council estate. A Fog, which is the nickname of the central character played by Toby Wharton, has just moved into a new council flat with his dad, Cannon, who has returned from active service. And it turns out that when Fog's mum died, Cannon, rather than sort of taking over and sort of looking after the kids, basically did a runner on, went back into the army and put Fog and his sister Lou into care. So it's about sort of that relationship. It's about sort of Cannon returning to the family and his expectations of what family life should be. It's about Fogg's expectations about what family life should be. There is this sort of like parallel story that runs. Now, Fogg and Cannon, they're a white family, and there's one of Fogg's friends, Michael, is black, and he and his sister are very ambitious. His sister's got a good job. She's just about to go for promotion. Michael is studying to get into university. I think Oxford or Cambridge is mentioned. I can't remember which one. So it's a sort of about the disintegrating relationship between Fog and Michael as Fog sort of sticks with what he knows, and sort of like, you know, his life is basically mimicking the gang culture and just trying to fit in. And Michael is sort of moving on and sort of moving away from all that. So it's about sort of like ambition versus lack of ambition. It's about the past catching up. It's about whether you can come back and be a parent, having sort of abandoned your children. It's about how the experiences of Fogg and his sister in care have shaped how they are now. I mean, they're all very, very good topics, and there's some very, very good bits to it. There's some quite sort of grim revelations about what goes on with Fog and Lou in care. But they didn't feel quite as shocking as they should have, and I think that maybe there's a bit too much in it. I felt that the whole black family versus white family, and one being on the up and one being on the down, was a little bit contrived and sort of distracted from some of the other issues which were more interesting. It's very well acted. It is a nice script. I just think the story could maybe do with tightening up a little bit. But overall, yeah, a nice piece of new theatre and a great job for Toby Wharton, who's, you know, it's his first writing attempt. So he was obviously working with Tash Fairbanks, who's a bit more experienced. But yeah, I mean, I'd definitely go back and have another look at other stuff that he'd done.
Yeah, he's playing a teenager or someone in his late teens, and is actually sort of towards his late 20s now. So but actually he's very convincing as a teenager.
Definitely.
I thought he was quite good, really quite good for a teenager, but actually he's quite a bit older than that. I was quite impressed by it. The there were certain things that I liked, but perhaps not quite so much if I really thought about it. Things like the very oblique way in which everything is introduced. You know, they're not. It's the exposition is done, I thought, done very well. It sort of creeps up on you. It's not explicit. Yeah. People don't stand there and sort of reveal their life story at you, which I liked. But then at the same time, there were bits and pieces. I think you only knew about the woman's death if you read the back of the programme. Of the mother's death, if you knew, you read the back of the program,
yeah.
It's not high. I mean, you know she's not there, but you don't quite get that she's high. You know, she's she's actually dead, and that was a problem. A problem like that, and there were one or two bits of pieces that you sort of kind of want more detail and more colour. And I think that perhaps if they hadn't done the black family, you know, they concentrated just on the white family, then there would have been a lot more. There would have been a lot more going for it. You know, if you spent all the time with just that one family instead of the black family. But it was you know, there's this nitpicking really, because it was a good time in the theatre. I mean, it was a good strong play and well directed. I mean, Che Walker, I have a horrible feeling I'm sitting next to him. Che Walker is a writer I admire a lot. A play of his, Been So Long, which introduced me to him, I was amazed by. I'm not sure, I never actually saw the musical version of it, which I think he mentions quite a lot more than that in his bio. He's somebody who I always like to see attached to a production, because I like his stuff, I like his work.
You can find the podcast at AYULTP on Twitter, on the as yet unnamed London Theatre Podcast page on Facebook. On the web, we are ayu-londontheatre.org, and this podcast can also be found on iTunes, where you can leave a review. Thank you. Goodbye.